So I'm sitting here in my new little studio with Nirmini De Silva and Steve Biaras and old friends that have come back passing through Adelaide. Tell me, what brings you both here?
Thanks, Sue, first of all, for inviting us to be part of your podcast. We're on a bit of a journey. We left Sydney early August on our way to a conference in Darwin. So we've been up through the Matilda Highway, through Bourke and places like Cunnamulla that Slim Dusty sings about. On our way, we've been to Brewarrina. But the main cause or the purpose of our travel is to do a bit of a conference circuit. So we've been to the National Housing Conference in Darwin. We've connected with some friends in Broome and went to some lectures at Notre Dame University there. We've presented at the New Economy Conference in Perth. And we are on our way now to present to the Ecological Economics Conference in Melbourne. It's also part of celebrating Steve's 55th year. And we were fortunate to be able to do that in the actual sort of time, to spend that time in Kakadu. Steve had never been to Darwin and to Kakadu. And he had also not travelled to Western Australia. So it's a bit of him getting to know all of the continent that he's called home, his entire life.
Country. Yeah. And you didn't put it in the broader context that we've been on the road now for 4.5 years, living in our motorhome, living and working with different communities and councils in mainly the rural areas we've been focusing on, even though we've been here to Adelaide now. This is our third or fourth time
on
this trip in the last 4 years. So.
Yes. So perhaps we should say what our backgrounds are. I'm a civil engineer who's worked in the water field for most of my career, and Steve's a town planner, although he's got a few strings to his bow besides town planning.
Yes. So, well, currently I'm doing a PhD research project at the University of Sydney in the Department of Political Economy, talking about or thinking, researching how the circular economy and those ideas around striving for zero waste, thinking in systems, thinking holistically, how they would reshape our cities, how would you apply it, not retrofit an existing city structure, but if we designed our economic, we currently design our cities based on the principle of endless economic growth. And so you have this extraction from the rural areas and from the periphery of the cities to grow the city centre, really. So it's all about bringing resources and work in from the external parts to grow the city centre. And that's why you have tall towers in the centre and deprivation in the rural areas and on the periphery of the cities. So if we were to think holistically or shift away from that extractive mindset to a regenerative mindset and think in terms of cycles and think in terms of relocalization, so that your local community is circulating money locally, circulating resources locally, managing the local water cycle and the soil health and etc. of your local area, you're more place-based, you're more connected to your country where you're living, and you're creating wealth through management of the landscape. So that's where all our wealth ultimately comes from the natural environment. So how would it completely reshape our cities to shift our mindset from an extractive linear growth mindset to thinking in systems, thinking in cycles, thinking about regeneration and management of our local place. So that's the broad structure of my thesis, and our work is essentially trying to implement some of these ideas.
Yeah, and it's important to say that we're talking about a network of villages. I think often projects like this are one-off projects and people put a lot of energy into that project, and then when someone else wants to replicate it, they have to start from the beginning. The reason that we have been focusing on local government so far is because we want this process to be embedded in local government policy so it can be replicated, so we can have a network of interconnected villages sharing stuff within a bioregion and learning from each other. So that's our big vision.
And could I just say around that idea, councils have strategies that talk about sustainable development and community engagement and all the things that we'd like to see, but there's no implementation process. Ultimately, they're motherhood statements that talk about our aspirations, but when it gets to on the ground doing new developments, we just do the same thing over and over and over again. So how do we create an implementation strategy that talks to things like council's local infrastructure? How do we connect in with the infrastructure in the area? How do we think about infrastructure differently in terms of water management systems, harvesting water, harvesting energy locally, enhancing the natural system? So environmental action isn't about protecting the environment from development, as if those are two different things. It's how do we enhance the environment through our daily actions and improve natural systems. That way there's no tension between housing development and environmental protection. There's an activity that is, by its nature, improving the environment. And so our daily activities, not just in what developers do, but what we individually do in terms of growing our food and managing our water and energy systems, is all about regeneration and improvement of natural systems.
So how do you choose where you're going to go?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, especially because, especially me, I was very much the planner who loved to have spreadsheets with, you know, our life mapped out. And this has been a little bit more of a journey that happened
more spontaneously.
And there's been a lot of events or synchronicity in our travels. Obviously, when we first started, we had certain places that we wanted to go and visit. There might have been eco-villages. There might have been opportunities to do guest lectures. But often when you go to a place, you meet a lot of people and they say, you've got to talk to X, or you've got to go and meet the council down here. And you start to learn about those places where the energy is quite resonant with what we are talking about. And so it has been a journey that has unfolded in that way. Saying that, we've also very much, when we start the year, we kind of look at the conferences where we think we could have the most impact and where we might meet the people that might be interested in the idea. So look for those win-win partnerships as well. And then they often lead to other opportunities, as happened this year with our presentation at the Darwin Conference. We learned a lot about some of the collaborative opportunities that were out there. So, yeah, it's very much been a journey of listening to the universe and listening to where the energy of the place is ready to receive what we have to say. You know, so obviously in New South Wales, we were drawn to Northern New South Wales and places like Bellingen, where the community and the council staff are kind of looking at these ideas already. And
I think broadly speaking, in the cities, people are very much, I'd say, more complacent or more comfortable, not yet in a position where their existing life systems are not working for them. Whereas in the rural areas, a lot of rural communities are struggling already, whether it's the drought and now the bushfires, of course, but a long-term decline in the economies of a lot of rural areas. And so they're consciously, actively looking for alternatives. And this is why the New Economy Network has been really helpful for us, because they've created local hubs, new economy hubs, where where communities really want to do something, and in particular there's one in East Gippsland, there's one in Newcastle and Darwin, that there's a group of people who want to see what's possible, what can we do to revitalise our own communities.
Hmm. And is there one in South Australia?
Yes. Yes, there's a group of people who work in South Australia as well. So it's the New Economy Network Australia, NENA. And if you go on the website, the hubs are divided both sectorally and geographically. So there's a number of hubs around cities and housing, faith, lots of different topics like that.
Money. Bitcoin,
yeah.
Example.
So Steve is a co-convener of the Cities Hub, in which we have both been active. That's obviously our main focus. But when you look through the hubs, you see that they're all interconnected. And eventually, that's the whole purpose, is that we can all bring our strengths. And that's what we are trying to do in terms of the regenerative village, is to create a place that can be a showcase for everything that is happening in all of these silos, whether it be energy or water or food. Bring it all together to one place, because ultimately that's what the circular economy is about. It's about the integration, so we can look at the end product of one system and feed it into the other.
Mm. And everyone's familiar really with the energy transition. That's been news for a long time. But the water industry has for 20 years been trying to transition from large-scale dams and pipes and channels to harvesting locally, to capturing in tanks on homes, managing, they call it water sensitive urban design. How do you design a place to manage the water systems? Using environmental systems rather than always thinking in terms of concrete and how do we control the environment. It's better about how do we manage the local system. So the water industry and the energy industry are both transitioning in this way, but farming also needs to transition, and there's Charles Massey's book recently, Call of the Reed Warbler, that's talking about regenerative agriculture and how we need to shift away from large-scale monocultures to diverse integrated regenerative systems that harvest energy and water and soil and build up the soil health. So all those areas, and the housing industry is also transitioning to co-living developments and build-to-rent models and those sort of things. So as Neil is saying, how do we bring all of these ideas into one place and demonstrate what's possible?
So the when people talk about a new economy, it means different things to different people. For me personally, it means about being empowered, and that is why we are talking about breaking away from a centralized system that controls us to creating these decentralized villages where you can really be empowered and resilient in terms of whatever the future might bring us.
And work together with your neighbours.
And collaborate in your local environment.
To ensure everyone has their basic needs satisfied as a starting point, as a platform for engaging then in the broader economy.
And there's no better way of empowering yourself than actually being connected to where your food, water and energy comes from and having your shelter provided.
So can I ask a double-pronged question? One is, what is your ultimate aim in doing this in this last 4.5 years? And the other one is, are you keeping a record, a track of all your memories and learnings and of the places that you've been to?
Yeah. Okay. So the first part of our journey, and it's been more than 4.5 years, because we set up Police Plan, our consulting company, in 2013. And the first thing that we did was spend 6 months volunteering in eco-villages in Europe, so we could learn from what had already been done there. And we started actually by going to a conference in Findhorn, and then went to a lot of these places that people in this space are very familiar with, places like Dammenhoe and Torre Superiore and Zeg, etc. And we learned a lot from that journey, and as a result of that, we also published 2 books. And we wanted to take the best of everything that we learned and start to design something here. But this first 4.5 years then, when we became mobile, because we realized that we really needed to get out of the city and go to regional areas where people were talking about these ideas and they saw the benefit of designing in this way. And so what we have been doing is sowing seeds in different councils so that they can really, as they started developing new rural land management strategies or growth management strategies, some of these ideas could be incorporated in the strategy. And now we're seeing that happening. Already some draft strategies coming out with some of our ideas incorporated, because every time a council is doing a new strategy, we put in a submission.
Where we come across them.
Yes.
Can't see all councils.
Yeah, and where we think they might be receptive. So that has been the first part of this journey, and as a result of the journey, we've also had chances to present and do guest lectures, to present at festivals. So we've interacted with a lot of different people. And so the other arm of what I do is I'm a photographer and a writer. And so it has been just amazing for me, not just to take photographs of the natural landscape, but to take photographs and document the stories of the people that I have met. We have a publication called Eco Living Journeys on Medium, where we both blog, and that is definitely a way of keeping track of some of the amazing people that we meet and the eco villages and new developments that we come across. So that's something that we have been doing.
Could I then just say, there's no ultimate goal, because the goals keep growing as you mm-hmm. learn more. The next stage where we'd like to get to is to build what we're calling a pilot project, an example of how all of this could work on the ground, including the processes of enabling it. So that's the strategic planning processes and embedding the implementation process within council policy, so there's a pathway for approval. And that pathway to approval gives certainty for investors and other developers to implement the process. So that's what we feel would be a game changer, if people could physically see and touch, and we wouldn't have to just explain it or write papers or whatever. People could live it. So that's an important next stage in the development.